boxes of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go
to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I just had the hiccups during the break. I think I got rid of them. I think they're gone. I'm not kidding. I'll know in a minute here if they're gone. It's Tuesday, and every Tuesday we talk about movies and TV shows that you may want to watch or stay away from, and Dan Buffa is here to kick that around with us. He's brought to you by Window World. Sometimes I wonder what we do. Well, I know what we do without Window World and Londoff and Mark and Jason and Battleston. We wouldn't be on the air. That's what we do. So Window World, the people who sponsor so many of the segments every week, are also sponsors of this segment with Dan Buffa, the number one selling replacement window in the country. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. He was absent last week because he was in L.A. with his daddy. Would you please welcome back Dan Buffa?
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Well, we're doing great. Before we get into your little trip and your vacation or whatever, you were in the green room before you came out, and I walked by. And every once in a while when the door opens, I just get a quick glimpse in there, and it looked like you were standing. And there were a couple of the female people who work in the green room, spa people, and it looked as if you were wearing something like a cup over your underwear in your genital area, and it was attached to some wires. Can I ask what that was? What kind of treatment was that? Like an electronic genital stimulator or something?
Well, you know, I kind of like to be the pioneer of certain procedures, and I said, you can try this on me. But they wouldn't tell me what it was exactly going to do. They said, we're going to attach these wires to your privates, and it's going to get weird. And
shock it back to life.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically, again, I just turned 37, so you know, say, recently 37-year-olds should have electrodes attached to their privates.
Well,
and, yeah.
Let me tell you, this station is on the cutting edge of a lot of things, and that may very well be a procedure that will
change lives.
Ensure that you never have ED. This ED thing, if you listen to commercials on TV and the radio, you'd think every guy 40 and over has erectile dysfunction. And maybe that procedure, maybe they're on the cutting edge of something. That stimulation, that electronic little shock, could cause you to be a man among men till you're 95 years old.
I went to junior high with a girl who went through that procedure, and she actually made it pretty big in show business. Her name was Chaka Khan.
Oh, look at that.
Get it? See what he did there?
See, I laughed at your dumb dad jokes, Frank.
I didn't not laugh. I was smiling. That's okay. Like laughing.
Same thing.
That's kind of like laughing. It's a silent laughter.
It's a modest laugh.
I'll take it.
It's a modest
laugh. I'll take it.
It's a modest laugh. So, you were in L.A. last week. What was that all about? You sent me a text and you're with your dad, and sorry, you wouldn't be able to make it. Was that a family vacation?
For a long time, I'd say at least a year or two, I've been wanting to go on a road trip with my dad, and we have family out in Lake Elsinore. And so we spent the first few nights out in Venice Beach, which is a whole other world. Different people. My gosh. Everybody looks good out there.
No, different people is an understatement.
Yeah. I mean, they have perfect skin. They eat whatever they want. Everybody's got a nice butt. It's just not fair. We go out
easy now.
I'm telling you, man. But it was a good time. I've been wanting to go with my dad on a road trip, and we did it. We spent about 3 nights in Venice Beach and Santa Monica, and then we went up to see the whole idea was to surprise my Uncle Bobby on his birthday on Monday, and we did that. He had no idea. You know, we're from Missouri. We show up at his door. He had no idea we were coming, and that was kind of a cool little finale.
Now, if he didn't know you were coming, what if you'd gone all the way out there and he wasn't even home?
Well, we kind of did our homework because I follow him on social media, so I was making sure that he was going to be there. And, you know, he doesn't really go on a lot of trips, him and his wife and his kids, so we managed to shock my uncle. I mean, he just started crying. Everybody was crying as they hadn't seen each other, but my dad and his brother in about 10 years, and that was just kind of a cool little finale. But me, the biggest thing my dad gave me trouble for was I'm a social media pariah. I had to be quiet about it. I couldn't mention the trip on Facebook or on Instagram, so that was a whole thing about at the end of the trip to go out and surprise him. But it was a fun trip. But I'll tell you, by the end of every vacation, you always kind of want to come home. And like by the fifth day, I was kind of ready to come back to St. Louis. I mean, it was nice, but being away from my kid for 5 days, that was the first time I've been away from my kid since he was, obviously since he was born, 7 years. But that was kind of weird, but it was fun.
Well, why don't you tell the truth? What you probably really missed was Tuesday came around and you realized you weren't going to be on the show.
I know, and I tell you what, I almost called in from the show, but then we would have been like boarding the plane when I was coming on the show. So it would have been like a lot of the sound of the plane engine taking off. Like, okay, here comes movie review, and all of a sudden.
Nah, you're better off to not do it. That never works out well. You're on vacation. You should be on vacation.
Yeah, but I did see a couple movies when I was up. Is wherever I go, I see movies. I like to go to different theaters, and I swallowed the bullet and watched the Liam Neeson film Cold Pursuit.
I did too.
I got it. I didn't like it, man. I went in there with my dad, and my uncle, and look, I don't go into the film about Taken in the Snow thinking it's going to be a masterpiece. But my problem with it, Frank, and maybe you had this problem too, is it felt like it juggled tones. It wanted to be an action film, a funny movie, and then also a drama. If it just want to stuck to one of those things, it may have been good. But the whole idea was just kind of overly silly. I didn't dig it at all.
Now, I liked it, and the only reason I liked it is I like any movie where the basic plot is, no matter how, whether you know how it's going to end, or no surprises. Yep. I just like it when a good guy decides to just mop up and clean house and take out all the scum. I don't know, Charles Bronson, Death Wish.
Death Wish.
I even rewatched Bruce Willis's Death Wish the other night, just because it's the same basic plot. I'll get them. If the cops can't do it, I'll just take this on myself.
Have you
I'll
ever watched the movie, another kind of normal guy dispensing justice? You ever watched Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon? That's a really good normal guy.
Oh.
I mean, and the best thing about that movie was that he didn't even know how to use a gun when he was getting ready to go after the bad guy.
Well, remember, neither did Bruce Willis in Death Wish.
No.
He had to go into a gun store and ask about a gun and had to go out and then on his own kind of learned how to disassemble it and clean it and shoot it and fire it and practice. He didn't either.
And the only thing about the Liam Neeson film is that he kind of knew how to do all that stuff, and we didn't really get a lot of his past. He was all of a sudden sawing the barrel off of a shotgun, and he's like, he's just dispensing this justice. But I don't know. I think, as far as Liam Neeson like action films go, I think it was on the lower end. But I can see how people can go in there and enjoy it.
I agree, but I didn't hate it. I knew what I was in for. I still watched it. I knew exactly what it was going to be, and I liked it. And let me ask you this: did you not get cold watching that movie? I'm going to tell you that's the coldest movie. Meaning it's shot. A lot of it takes place in the miserable blizzard, cold snow. He's a snowplow driver, and I got to tell you, I almost had to put a jacket on watching that thing. It was really convincing.
And they shot that movie, I think, in British Columbia. I know they shot it in cold. I mean, that wasn't like a CGI snow. That was real snow. They went out there. Of course, Liam Neeson, he filmed another movie called The Gray, one of my favorite all-time movies, out in the cold. But I'm pretty sure that was legit cold. I mean, they were out there. Can you imagine? They got to do a bunch of takes. You're out there just freezing. All right, we're going to do take 7, and then, you know, your skin's turning blue, but...
I would like to see him one more time before it's over do another movie like a Schindler's List, which he was, which is not this guy who's going to go out and see that justice is done. I would like to see that, but it seems like he's stuck in this, and good for him, because I'm sure he makes a lot of money in this niche of, you know, okay, I'll get him, those kind of movies.
Dan, what do you call a season, a series, a show that's half documentary, where it's real people, and then the other half of it is actors acting out what happened to them in an earlier life? Because there's something on Netflix that I watched.
A reenactment? Is that a reenactment?
It's a documentary of something that actually happened in the news, and, mm-hmm. and the real participants of it are interviewed in this documentary. Okay. But then the things that they're talking about, there's actors...
Yeah.
That are reenacting things that they're talking about.
Is it
about.
A docu-series? It's like it's real events. I mean,
I don't know what to even call it. This thing on Netflix called Abducted in Plain Sight is I'm gonna add it to my list of things I'll never ever watch again.
Bizarre.
It is the most disturbing thing I have ever seen. Have you seen this, Frank?
No.
It's a 90-minute show on Netflix. It came out
in 2007. So it's one thing, no episode.
It's a one-time deal. They're talking about making a sequel to it right now.
Gosh.
It's about a family in Idaho that has three daughters, and they become best friends with another family next door, and their daughters all play together, and the couples become best friends, and the guy that is the neighbor is a pedophile. And he
this is actually based on a real story.
It's based on a real story. True. And he kidnaps this 12-year-old girl. He starts having pedophilic relations with this girl when she's 9. He also has sexual relations with both of her parents.
Oh, wow.
And then abducts this girl and takes her to Mexico when she's 12 years old. The FBI ends up apprehending him, bringing him back. He beats the kidnapping charge because he tells the parents, if you don't drop the charges against me, I'm going to tell everybody that you're gay and that your wife's a slut. And so they end up doing that. And then he abducts the girl again.
Again.
And then 30 years later, she writes a book about it, and she's going around the nation and talking about what happened in her life with her mother. And this guy shows up at her book signings after she hasn't seen him for 30 years.
And well, now that's when you hit.
It is beyond. I add that with Schindler's List and 12 Years a Slave and Hard Candy of things.
Okay,
I will
you
never
just
watch
now
again.
Made me want to watch it. You said you'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
Now I want
to
watch
yeah,
it because here's why.
It.
Here's
yeah.
why. Here's why. If this is true. There can't be another case in history where a guy has pedophilic relationships with a little girl and also has sex with both her parents.
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me?
And both the parents are on the show, and they talk about the incidents with the guy.
Wow.
And they're like they're in their 70s.
This is
now.
Making me a
it's
like
unbelievable.
Scratch. This is making give me a
it's
stomach ache.
No, I'm going to watch it. What's it called?
It's called
Abducted
in Plain Sight.
Oh, wow. Man.
Well, when you're done watching that, I watched the movie. Wash your hands, take a shower, take three of them, cold and hot. but I watched a movie. I talked about a movie 3 weeks ago called Donnybrook that I've been waiting for. I call it No Country for Old Men meets Fight Club, and it's coming out on demand this weekend. It's kind of one of those movies that's going to kind of build up. It came out limited this past weekend, but it has...
It's the one that stars Ray Hartman?
Yeah. Is it based on a true story
from
the Channel 9 series?
Bill McClellan's in it.
Yeah.
I'd watch that movie.
It stars by one of my favorite guys, Frank Grillo, Jamie Bell, and it also has James Badge Dale, who is just in almost every movie these days. But it has to do with a bare-knuckle fight tournament called the Donnybrook. It takes place in Indiana. It's kind of like that Southland gothic drug dealers, kind of people on the fringe of society. But it's a good movie. Jamie Bell, who people will know as the wonderful little British boy who played a dancer. What was it, Billy Elliot?
Billy Elliot.
Billy Elliot. Now he's grown into this big actor now. He plays Jarhead Earl, a recently returned war veteran who kind of is, he's between a rock and a hard place. He has to make some money so he can get his family away from the clutches of a very bad, very, very bad meth dealer called Chainsaw Angus, played by Frank Grillo. Who?
And Chainsaw Angus.
Chainsaw Angus.
No, Angus, not anus. Chainsaw Angus. That's a great name.
And this is based,
Chainsaw Angus.
And this is based off of Frank Bill's novel, who the same name, Donnybrook. He's wrote three of these crime novels. In the book, this guy is terrible, but Frank Grillo, you know, he's played action heroes, but he's never played a true bad guy. He played Crossbones in Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War. But, you know, Chainsaw Angus makes Crossbones look like Mr. Rogers. This is a terrible human being. He's a meth dealer. He is getting Jamie Bell's character, his wife, drugs. So he's helping his wife get, you know, shooting her up with drugs, messing up his family. Both these guys are kind of on a collision course because they're eventually going to meet at the Donnybrook. This movie is dark. It's brutal. I won't say it's for everybody, but it is one of those films where there's a payoff at the end. When these guys get into that cage, and it's not like a one-on-one. You have 20 guys in a big cage room, and when they commit, when they shoot that gun off, all 20 guys just go at each other. And so the prize is $100,000. So for Earl, it's a chance to get his family out of this crazy town, away from Chainsaw Angus. And for him, it's just a chance to make more money and kill.
I like Dan's idea better. I'm going to write a screenplay with a guy named Chainsaw Anus, and he's really mad. He's mad because somebody took a chainsaw to his anus.
No. We already got a spinoff.
He has two cracks instead of
he's
one.
He's got two cracks.
Yeah, that's right.
And he sawed them down with a chainsaw.
Oh, man.
Hey, we have some calls.
But I will say this movie, you know, it's one of those movies that gets bad and really good reviews from critics. Either you're going to hate it or you're going to love it. Due to seeing Frank Grillo, who I really like, I think he's a great action guy. He's authentic. When you see him on screen doing fights or just mad as hell, you believe him. You believe him in every role, but this role...
So when 20 guys go in a cage, how do you win? Is it like last man standing?
Last man standing.
Like a demolition derby with cars, the last car running is the winner.
So basically,
everybody has to get beaten up and you're the last guy that's standing up.
And so basically, you either kill the guy or you knock him out. And then in the end, it's two guys. And I'll tell you, there's anticipation when they're all in that ring. And of course, Earl and Chains are looking at each other like, you know, they want to kill each other. Because what happens between the start of the movie and when that fight happens, you learn to really, I mean, Angus is a bad, bad man. He doesn't just kill people.
Is Chainsaw Angus a colonel by any chance?
awful.
Okay, that's awful. An SNL reference. Some people might get and some people might not.
How about the good SNL days? Because currently it's just bad.
That was actually Christopher Walken that was Colonel Angus.
He was Colonel Angus.
Yeah.
Man, that was funny.
Can you imagine? He walks in like, you guys are fighting each other. What's wrong? Everybody have a Diet Coke and calm down.
Yeah, that would be a better impression if you actually did it on mic and got closer to the microphone.
And didn't sound like you were back here.
I'm right. I am making out with this microphone. Tim?
Tough love.
Can you attest that I'm right
next to
the microphone?
Maybe Limey needs to bump the level
He's got a perfect level.
He's swallowing it.
I'm right here.
Again.
We're getting sensual, me and this black microphone. But I will say, if you like a very dark, brutal film, that it's kind of like, there's films that I think that would do this movie, but then in the end they would back up a little bit, not really be as dark as they should. But this is a movie that ends in a way that, you know, even if the good guy kind of wins, he doesn't really win. It's brutal. Have you seen...
All right, where do we see this movie?
Well, on Friday, you can watch it at home. It's on demand. Hopefully, it gets to St. Louis. I wanted to get to St. Louis.
On demand where?
On whatever cable provider you have. So if you have... Oh, okay. If you have like a, you know, a sling box, you can buy it for like $5 and watch it in your home.
Called, is it called it's the called, Donnybrook?
No, it's just called Donnybrook. That is the name of the tournament that these
don't
guys...
Don't confuse it with that Thursday night thing on
yeah,
TV.
Don't no. confuse totally it. This different. Is totally
all
different.
All right. How many, because we don't shut you down, you just keep talking about the same movie. Sorry, but you do. How many ARDs for Donnybrook?
Well, I'm excited about it. Let's go with three. Let's go 3.5. It's a really ooh, good, dark, good. Messed up movie.
It's pretty good. I'll watch anything you give 3.5 to. Here they come, right here.
All right, Dan. All right.
Now, Brian is on the phone. Would you like to talk to him? We'll just,
yeah,
we'll just,
crank it up. You know, let's get Brian on the phone.
As a call comes in, well, let me give the numbers real quickly, too, in case anybody else has a suggestion or a question. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Brian, you're on with Dan Buffa. Welcome to 590 The Fan.
Thanks, guys. AM and the PM. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, what did you guys think of The Gray with Liam Neeson? I thought that movie, it makes you feel really cold as well. You know, where the wolves are attacking them on a day, you know, they crash in Alaska.
Fantastic movie. And the thing is, it holds up 6 years later. And also, it had Frank Grillo in a very small part going toe-to-toe with Liam Neeson. It's a good movie. Joe Carnahan directed it. It's got Liam Neeson playing probably in one of his best roles. But that's a movie that, yes, you will feel cold. Because these guys, their plane crashes down right in the cold, brutal cold wilderness right next to wolves. And that's the whole idea. That you got six or seven guys.
I don't even think I've seen this. I want to see this.
It came out in January 2012. It didn't get a big theater run because the trailer kind of hyped up this big showdown between Liam Neeson and a wolf, and it doesn't really happen that way. It's more methodical and slow burning, but it's still a very good movie. It's got a good cast, and I think that even if you missed it back then, you can watch it today and still get the full impact.
Brian, did you see it, or are you thinking about seeing it?
No. I watched it on Saturday, this past Saturday, and I'd never seen it before.
Oh, wow, for the first time.
Did you like it?
Yeah, no, I did. It's predictable, but that's okay because, you know, it's a Liam Neeson movie. I loved it, actually. I thought it was good.
Yeah, you know that he's not going to get killed.
Yeah, and Frank, you need to watch it, seriously.
I'll watch it this week before the weekend.
It's called, the Gray. Okay. I think it's G-R-E-Y.
Yes, yeah. Right. It's a tough movie, man, but it's really well done. And the end does have a payoff. It's got a good little payoff in the end of it.
All right, I'll watch it. Thank you, Brian. I'll watch that before, at least by the end of the week, I'll watch it. Will is on here. Will, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa. Will, this is where...
Bueller.
You speak.
Bueller.
Will.
Bueller. Wait, Will.
All right. There he is.
I'm here.
All right.
Will. That
could have probably was Dan's fault. Will, say hi to Dan Buffa. What do you
know?
No, not Bill. Will, not Bill.
I mean,
we got you. What do you have, Will?
I just watched last night Mechanic Resurrection. It's the same guy that stars in it.
Jason Statham.
Oh, I like him.
Really cool. My favorite part is when he did the pool.
Oh yeah, that's a great kill. Yeah,
I've never heard of this Mechanic Resurrection.
Well,
the movie series is called The Mechanic. I think this is the second one.
And the first one I think was better with Ben Foster and Statham, but the second one does have a little bit of a fun aspect to it because it's just for him finding creative ways to kill people. And in this one, this guy, he swims in a pool, and Statham drills a hole in the bottom of the pool so it basically smashes out, and it's up in a skyscraper. So the guy just plunges to his death. But it's a good movie.
Epoxy, and then he had a thing to accelerate it, and then the heat, and then it's the science of it as well. I mean, you get these neat things.
I like it.
But the original movie, the original Mechanic back in the 70s, that was the bomb.
Now, was that Charles Bronson or was that a different guy playing the mechanic?
No, that was Charles Bronson and a young blonde who played in Smokey and the Bandit. I can't think of his name. He played with Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit when they were stuntmen.
Hmm. Burt Reynolds' good buddy. What the heck was that guy's name? Oh. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. What the heck was his name? He was best friends with Burt Reynolds, and he's the guy that got Burt Reynolds interested in stunt work too. Yep. Hal Needham.
Yeah.
Yep. You never hear
it just came to me.
Anymore. I wonder what happened.
Well, I think he's dead. I think Hal Needham's dead. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he actually wrote and directed Smoking the Bandit, too. That's pretty cool. It starred, wrote,
and directed. No, he did. And he'd never written a movie before, and he did the Smoking the Bandit thing, and, man, he took that money to the bank, and that made his life. Prior to that, he was just a stuntman.
He passed away in 2013 at the age of 82.
There you go. Yeah, he died before Burt Reynolds did. No, wow. I can't believe it came into my head. Hal Needham. I'll watch that. That sounds good. And I like Jason Statham. He's the guy that I wish I could have been. You know, that guy. No, I'm not kidding. That guy that nobody messes with, and not because he's necessarily that big, like a hulking kind of. He just knows how to clean house with somebody who deserves it.
And he's also a former Olympic diver for the British team before he was an actor.
Well, really? There you go.
Guys, I'm going to get off, but I want to tell you something. You guys are cut up. I appreciate the show. I've been a fan for years, so keep it
Thank
up.
You.
Limey,
Thank you.
Thank you. You really had a nice part to it, man. You guys are funny as hell.
No, thank you. We don't need to hear that. We can have done
somebody,
that. Thank you, Bill.
Somebody just called and said it was Jan Michael Vincent in the movie with Charles Bronson.
And he's gone.
That his throat is.
Dan, tell him to talk to Americans off the phone.
I got a text that said it's Can Michael Vincent, idiots.
I think they meant Jan.
I think they did.
Yeah. The idiots,
Jan,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently it was Jan so Michael mean. Vincent and not Hal Needham. Before you get into whatever else you go ahead, and when you finish, I'll tell you what I'm rewatching, which I never do. I rarely rewatch anything, but I did go see Bohemian Rhapsody twice at the movie theater.
Okay.
And now I am rewatching something on Amazon that I've already seen the whole first season of. It's so tremendous. I'm watching it again. That after you finish, go ahead.
Oh, some news, and I think this was more of expected news, but still disappointing. Netflix has officially canceled Jessica Jones and The Punisher, cleansing them of the Marvel series. I think Disney's, they're going to take them all over there. I hope that they retain the grittiness of these series. I know you haven't watched them, Frank, but John Bernthal.
I watched some of The Punisher.
Yeah, and two seasons of that, and I knew it was coming because they were slowly canceling all of them, Luke Cage and Daredevil, and the hope is that Disney has their own streaming device, and then they put these back up and keep the, you know, I would say the R-rated aspect. Don't make them a diet version of the Marvel series. Keep their authenticity, because I think that Punisher, that take with Bernthal and creator Steve Lightfoot is probably the most authentic version of Frank Castle that we've gotten. So expected news, but still sad. Update on Shameless, it's still a disappointing thing that keeps running downhill. I mean, they are totally leaving Emmy Rossum out to dry as far as her character. She has three episodes left before her character is gone. And I can't tell you another show that's taken such a steep drop in one season. I mean, season 8 was great. Season 9, it's like they handed the keyboard to some new writers and they're tarnishing
these
characters.
By the way, the drop took place before the loss of her character. It was going downhill anyway. This is certainly not going to help.
Oh, I know, but, I mean, season 8 on the whole was still pretty good, but season 9, it's like somebody else said, okay, well, she's leaving the show. We have to just get stupid now with the storytelling. I think it's really dropping. It's been picked up for season 10. I don't know what they're going to do. I think it's going to be the same old stuff. Frank getting into trouble, Lip trying to be a better person, blah, 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 sleepy. So disappointing, Shameless. It's got three episodes left. I did watch Black Monday, the new Don Cheadle show that comes on after it, and I got to say, the stock market black, kind of like dark comedy, trying to be a drama. It's about October 17th when the stock market crashed, the biggest crash in Wall Street history. I'm a little mixed on it. I'm two episodes in, and I'm not sure if I'm really going to, if it's hook, line, and sinker yet, even though I love Don Cheadle. I think he's great, but Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote the series, and they're funny guys, but this series, I think it juggles the tone of a comedy and a drama too much. So
I don't want to watch anything Seth Rogen.
Well, he's not in it. He just wrote it. But
okay.
But I mean, it's just got one of those things where it's trying to be comedic about the stock market, and I think that's a weird balance to try to get to. And I think they're almost there, but through two episodes, I'm going to have to watch a third one just to see if it's worth getting in for the whole season yet.
Hey, but, what's this series George Clooney's going to be in? He hasn't done a TV series since ER or whatever. What is this thing he's doing?
I don't know. I thought Clooney was on like a twin kid sabbatical. Is he jumping into something?
No. He's doing, I think it's a Netflix series.
Oh, thank gosh, man.
Really? He's a mediocre actor. George Clooney does one thing. He looks good. I've never seen him stretch.
You have to watch Siriana. He won an Oscar for it, Frank. You have to watch it. He's got a beard. He plays a CIA agent who basically goes against the government. He goes overseas and he battles terrorists. He's really good in this movie.
I'm tired of those movies. I'm tired of movies about international espionage and CIA.
He's good, I'm telling you. Okay. Yeah, you're right. It's George Clooney's Catch 22 has been
that. That's it.
That's it. All right. I'm glad because I think he's a talented writer, director, and also actor. I think he picks movies and projects very well. And yeah, I do agree that. I think I want to see him stretch like he did in Siriana. Hopefully he does that now that he's kind of established himself. But hopefully, I'm not sure. I got to think that he's going to be writing or producing this thing at very least. So I'm excited.
You want another phone call?
Let's do it.
All right. This would be Jose. Jose, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Yes, Dan. How are you? This is Jose.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing well. In fact, I've been following you since the 90s, so you know I'm an all-time I am in the TM.
Thank you. Thank you, Jose. Appreciate it.
Hey, there you go. Hey, just want to chime up on a little movie called Alpha. I don't know if you heard about it. It's like an indie... Alpha.
Have you heard of this?
It sounds new and familiar, but I have not watched
it. Is that the movie that's set back in, like, you know, caveman times where you got some...
That is correct.
There you go. Okay, cool.
Oh, way to go, Limey.
Thank you.
So, Jose, what's it about?
This is a prehistoric, you know, family or group of, you know, cavemen. And they go out on a hunt, and then this kid... that he's going through a passage, you know, rite of passage. He gets hit by a bull, by a mastodon or whatever, and he goes over a cliff. Everybody, you know, declares him dead because he falls onto a cliff, you know?
Right.
So then he recovers and climbs up just to find this wolf. And then he evolves from there. It's really
Where do we see this?
I picked it up in Redbox.
Redbox. Yeah. So we could probably just movies on demand.
Yeah, it came out in August, and yeah, it is on Redbox, and more, it has to be on demand. Every movie that's really in Redbox, you could probably get it on demand home, but it's going to cost you more, probably like $6-7. But
Jose, in this movie, do they speak? Because if it's cavemen, do they speak?
Yeah, they speak in regular English language, you know.
Okay.
Hey, do you know why, Jose, you know why the cavemen drag their women by the hair? Because if they pulled them by their feet, they'd fill up with dirt.
If they pulled them by their feet, he interrupted you like Frank Norman does. Retell the joke, Dan.
They pull their women by their hair because if they pulled them by their feet, they'd fill up with dirt.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Jose, don't laugh at that, Jose. That's disgusting.
Yeah, put that little tune in there.
I'm with Jose. Give Dan the
music.
Thank you. Pull them by their feet.
Hey Dan, I'll just bring a little anecdote. Is that okay with you? Back in the 90s, I called in and you were making a little, you know, counters, you know, with cars that are named after racetracks.
Okay.
And I guess that your format was that you're gonna give me the cars and say, you know, if this was correct or not. And I just chanted off the cars because I'm a car fan. So I chanted all my five, you know, car tracks that are named after cars, or cars that are named after tracks, racetracks, please. And, well, I got my first price from you guys, you know, like a ticket for Buble or something like that.
Do you remember what the racetracks were, the cars that were named after tracks?
I named them all. I mean, a Monza, which is a Corvair, and I know that you had a Corvair, you know. Sometime in the past.
I did have. Well, you got a great memory. I did have a Corvair like 15 years ago.
That's correct. And then
are you familiar with when Corvette came out with the current version of Corvette in 14? They offered
Corvair.
I know this is another story. When Corvette came out in 14 with the current version of Corvette, they had a color called Lime Rock Green, and it was misleading because it wasn't lime color. Lime Rock is also a racetrack, and nobody knew that. They couldn't understand why the thing was called Lime Rock Green because it was a real...
Is that,
Lime Rock is it's, no, it's here in the States. It's here in the States. I forgot where it is, but the car is a dark, like emerald green, but it's called Lime Rock. That's also a racetrack. So, yeah, I'd forgotten. I didn't know Corvair was a racetrack. Well, thanks for checking back in.
No, Monza is a racetrack.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Corvair. That's right. There was a Corvair Monza.
The
racing
version,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you are a car guy. Huh?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. All right, Jose, don't be a stranger.
Yeah, me. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Have a good
thank
one.
You. Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. I just got texted over a joke. It's kind of funny. Want to hear it?
Well, no. See, the problem is now it has to be funny because you've said it's funny.
I bet. Well, let's bet. Buff, I bet it's not funny.
I bet it's not either.
I think it's going to be
a light chuckle, but okay. Not really a
you got
big out
two
loud
no's
laugh.
And a light chuckle. What about it, Strauss? You think it's going to be funny?
I think it'll be funny.
Okay, one funny, one chuckle, and two no's.
Remember, right. He's British. He's British, so it's funny to him. Oh, he's not really British, but he's sort of British. So go ahead.
Have you ever been picked up by the fuzz? No, but I bet
this joke. I tell this joke every year. But I've been swung around by the boobs. I tell this joke every year. I've told it here since we've been here.
Somebody
told that
just
joke.
Texted it over. I thought it was funny.
Well, they stole it from me, and I stole it from I don't know whom, but I stole it too. But that's
swung
that's
around
joke.
By the
I
boobs.
I do it every year. You don't remember me telling that?
No.
Old lady trying to join a motorcycle gang?
And they wanted
yeah.
To...
Yeah,
I
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I need more of the joke, Hunter.
No, I can't. Well, here. Old lady goes to a motorcycle unknown hangout for gang members, and she walks in, and she's like 88 years old. She tells them she wants to join their gang, and they all just start laughing. And they say, hey, old gal, first of all, you got to have a Harley. She says, step outside. And they go out, and she's got a full dresser Harley Davidson all tricked out. And they said, well, you got to be able to drink. She goes in the bar and chugs like a fifth of bourbon, doesn't even phase her. And they said, you got to be able to fight. And she goes up to one of those guys who just cold cocks and knocks him flat out on his back on the floor. And he said, well, there's some other things you have to, first of all, you need to have like a record. She goes, what do you mean? He goes, have you ever been picked up by the fuzz? She goes, no, but I've been swung around by the boobs a few times. See, to understand that joke, you have to realize that years ago, cops were called the fuzz. Nobody calls them that anymore. But a radar detector used to be called the fuzz buster. And in fact, there was a model sold called the fuzz buster that would detect the cops. So
I
there you
like
go.
My
there's
joke.
The,
by the fuzz.
There's the joke. What else you got, Mr. Buffa?
Well, the Oscars are on Sunday, and I'll, of course, recap the winners, but there's a few things I want to see happen. I really want to see Christian Bale win for Vice. I think that's one of the best performances in the last, five to ten years.
That's right up there with...
Gary Oldman.
Yes, and Winston Churchill, and with, in a different way, with Jamie Foxx as Ray. He didn't need the prosthetics and
Daniel
Day-Lewis
playing Lincoln. I mean, that's just one of those best things. I mean, there's a lot of movies out there. I mean, of course, I'm a big Star Is Born guy, but I think that... One movie I think is going to win a lot, and I thought it was good, it wasn't great, was Netflix's Roma. I think it's a good movie, but I just think people are really getting behind this thing because it's it's Netflix and they're taking over and it's
but
one
it's
of those,
subtitled, right?
Yeah, it's subtitled.
See, that's why I didn't watch it.
And it's a good film, and you know they
I
of course
don't do subtitles.
Don't make me read.
Don't make me read. I want to read a movie. Thank you. I don't want to go to the movie and read.
But on a more news level, there's a rumor going about, and it's not confirmed, but I had to shout at this one. There's a rumor that Armie Hammer might play Batman. And if it happens, I am going to find Armie Hammer. I'm going to kidnap him.
Wait, who's that?
He was in The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp. He was in Man from U.N.C.L.E. with Henry Cavill. He is a terrible actor. And I'm not saying to play Batman. You got to be like great. He looks like Bruce Wayne, but I just think he's a terrible actor. If people didn't like Ben Affleck, this guy will make Ben Affleck seem like Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, he's just not a good actor. If he gets casted as Batman, I will kidnap him so he cannot play Batman.
They should cast Navy Screwdriver for that.
That's not even, you know, it's not even
funny. Did the company Arm & Hammer come out before Armie Hammer was born? I mean, why? That seems like a odd thing to name your child.
He comes from a rich family.
Is it that family?
Yeah,
but I think I'm with Tim. I think that rich family was on cocaine when they named it.
Yeah.
They go, let's name it Army Hammer. It'll sound like a box of soda, baking soda.
I mean, at least give him the Y and not the IE. Just be like Army Hammer. I mean, you know, give him a good full name. But, I mean, look, the guy is good looking. He's tall. He's got the chin.
Easy.
I'm just saying. But you follow even Ben Affleck and Christian Bale. No, I don't want him playing this role. Thankfully, it's not confirmed. But if they go from Ben Affleck to Army Hammer, that's like going from pastrami to dried chicken.
Armin Hammer was his grandfather, great-grandfather.
Yeah, his real first name is Armand.
Right. Armand.
That's what Army is probably short for.
Well, whatever it is, he's a bad actor, and I want him playing Batman. Stay away from Batman.
Every time I hear Ben Affleck's name, all I can think about is that duck that goes around going, Ben! Ben!
He's good.
Was that a joke?
Oh, I don't know what it was.
I just kept going. Ben Affleck, the duck goes, Ben.
Why? Well, I just kept going.
Call the crickets for
that's
the
hilarious.
5 o'clock.
That was just terrible.
Hilarious.
Bring the crickets in for the 5 o'clock.
And really, I'm ready. Speaking of playing popular roles, it's not going to happen, but if I had my way, I don't want anybody else playing Wolverine or Iron Man. Hugh Jackman and Robert Downey Jr., I mean, of course it's going to happen because you know why? Marvel wants to make money. They're going to cast this thing until we're all gone and new people around and different actors. But Hugh Jackman played this thing for over 10 movies. He's great. He stepped down after Logan, and they're going to find some guy, and it's just going to be like watching. It's going to be an embarrassment. So I don't want anybody else to play him, but of course Marvel's going to get the rights to Wolverine. It's going to happen. Same for Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, who I think is just great. So, no Army Hammer's Batman. Nobody else can play Wolverine or Iron Man. But I want to say this, getting back to my L.A. trip before I wrap it up. We all know in L.A., marijuana is legal, and you can do it.
It's not just L.A., it's the whole state of California.
Yeah, in California. So, we're out there, and the first thing my dad and I do is go to a dispensary. It was eat, drop the bags, go to a dispensary. It's called the Green Goddess Dispensary, right next to our hotel. And when they tell you that you shouldn't drive under the influence, I can tell you.
You should not.
I did. And let's just say that you have to really. Well, you know, we wanted to go somewhere. And of course, my dad and my aunt go, well, Dan can drive. He's young. He's very strong minded.
It's a little different. This strain of stuff is a little different.
No, it's medical grade. It's strong.
Yeah, it's strong. And my dad and I, you know. When you get in the car, I'm good. But then you get into traffic, and you're not good. You have to concentrate.
No,
I'm going to use all my willpower to make this left turn. That's how bad it was, folks. So please let your movie critic here advise you. When you know marijuana, do it at home. Stay at home. You know, don't go anywhere. Because I did, and it felt like I was in a Twilight Zone.
Or call Uber.
Well. Here's the other thing. In Colorado, California, and a bunch of other states, I don't know which ones they are, where it's legal recreationally, you can be from out of state, and you show a driver's license. It doesn't matter if you don't live there, you can buy it. And here's one of the big problems, especially with the edibles. This stuff is very powerful, and it doesn't kick in for a couple of hours. So people will take it, and they go, well, 30 minutes later, they go, that didn't do anything. I'll take some more. And then when it all kicks in,
It goes into your blood system faster. So, you know, when we have this stuff, okay, I'm fine. Let's go somewhere. I got in that car, and my aunt was trying to get my attention. I felt like I was being attacked by an alien in the back seat. I was waving her off, throwing elbows, and I was like, just let me concentrate. There's a stop sign up there. I need to concentrate on pushing the right pedal.
Well, you were doing 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I still have to do
one bit of business, and before I do that and let you go,
we share Rick with you on the phone, too.
Well, let's get Rick in here quickly. Rick, quickly, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Hey, Dan. I'm aiming the PM, guys.
Hello, Rick. What's going on?
Hey, I'll be super quick because you guys got to go. One movie I think you guys should check out, and people ask me my favorite movie, and a lot of people haven't heard it. It's called Saint Ralph. So if you ever get a chance, it's not going to probably win any awards. The acting's nothing special. Cinematography. It's just a great, uplifting movie.
Saint Ralph?
Saint Ralph.
Saint Ralph.
Is that
like
old or new?
PH?
It's probably in the 2000s. Yeah, not okay. King Ralph. Yeah, people think King Ralph.
I know King Ralph with John Goodman, but Saint Ralph, I've never heard of.
Ralph.
Who, it's a really good movie.
Lyman, who's in it? Lyman, who's the star?
Adam Butcher. I know, it sucks, right?
Adam Butcher, yeah.
Adam Butcher, Campbell Scott, Jennifer Tilly.
Campbell Scott, oh yeah. The B-actor list. Is it good, though? So is it worth watching? Now, what kind of genre is it? Kind of a drama?
No, we don't have time for all that. We're out of time.
Yeah. Just check it out.
Will do.
Okay, we will. Thank you, Rick. All right, real quickly before we have to break, and I got to do some business. The series that I'm rewatching is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and don't say anything yet. I just want to tell people something. This is a series on Amazon that if I had just watched 15 minutes of it, I'd never watch the rest of it because everything about it reeks of the kind of things that I don't really care for. I'm not a stage play musical type person. This is one of the best produced, best acted, best written pieces of work I have ever seen. From the costuming, the sets, the everything about it is just A+. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is set in, it's a Jewish family set in the 50s. The people that put this together, it's no wonder it has won all these awards. And I realize that people who don't have Amazon Prime can't see it. But if you do, I'm going to tell you, I would pay for Amazon just to watch this. And we're watching the whole first season again. I've never seen anything done as professionally and as well as The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And Dan Strauss is the one who called my attention to it. And I thought, I'm not going to like this.
I have not watched it yet, but my wife has, and she really enjoys it.
Oh, it's tremendous.
It's fantastic.
Now, Frank, have you watched Goliath?
I have watched a few. Ooh. That's an episodic thing, and I've watched a few of those with Billy Bob Thornton. I have. But we don't have time to talk about it anymore.
Next week.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you give it one full episode. Certainly two episodes, but even just one, and you'll be hooked on The Marvelous Mrs. This gal, Rachel Brosnahan, is the most, maybe the most,
she is very
most
good.
Talented women I've ever seen in my life. You know how to wrap it up.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
We've had enough of Dan Buffa. He'll be back again next Tuesday to talk about movies, TV shows, and we always welcome your calls. Dan Buffa, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And folks, if nothing else, please include Window World when you're shopping for replacement windows if you like the show. I cannot stress enough how important it is for you to at least give the businesses that you hear me speak for a shot. Give them a chance to earn your business. And if they know your AM and the PM, and that's why you came to them or called them, that's what keeps the show on the air. Now, speaking of advertisers like that, we have one that's been with us for 15, 16 years, and that's Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. Mark and Jason with Stifel, when they came on the air, I predicted that maybe they'd be on the air maybe a year. And the reason I thought that was I thought, well, it's awfully hard to get people to turn their life savings over to somebody. You're not turning it over to them. In other words, they don't own it, but to let them sort of help you take control of it and advise you what to do with it. That's a tall order. And in no time, they had AM and the PM people with everything from the minimum $25,000 to a few million dollars calling them and asking them for their financial advice. The other people who turn to Mark and Jason are people who change jobs. Because when you change jobs, that 401k money, somebody has to make a decision what to do with that. When you move it, what do you do with it? And how long do you have to move it? What's the penalty if you wait too long to move it? Where's the best place to move it? And all that kind of stuff. And they go to them for that, too. They're extremely easy to talk to, and they're very, very knowledgeable. Whether you know nothing about investing or you know a lot, they will speak your language. They will never talk over your head. They'll never talk beneath you. The first order of business is to set up a meeting, and you do that. They're not going to do it. They don't have your phone number and name. They're not going to call you. So you contact them through their website and set up a meeting. If you have $25,000 or more to invest, or if you're changing jobs or thinking about retiring and need some guidance with this whole 401k thing, please consider that meeting because it costs you nothing and you have no obligation. And I do understand how sometimes people are afraid that if they have a meeting like this,
they're going to somehow be pressured into signing something or committing. No, you're not at all. You're not. And here's the other thing that'll be a pleasant surprise. If they take a look at what you're doing with your money and they see that what you're doing is right or part of it's right, they'll tell you. They'll say, I wouldn't change this. This was good. If you have a financial advisor, so what? Second opinion. No different than a second opinion from a doctor. Usually a pretty good idea. Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. And the website is one you hear every day. You're going to hear it again right now. MarkandJason.com. All right. I want you to stick around because the Playhouse is coming up. Scott, if you're listening, and I think you are, thank you for that email earlier today. And the joke is for you because you requested it. And I think it's been long enough. It's time to tell it again. So we got several things to kick around, including Bill Cleveland. I don't know where he is, but I'll find out during the break, and I'll let you know. So stay right where you are. 5 o'clock, 590, The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoin. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com. St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump says it's no surprise that he's being sued over his declaration of a national emergency, but that he remains confident he will prevail in the end. 16 states filed a lawsuit today to keep the president from taking funds Congress earmarked for other areas to use in building a wall. Trump said he absolutely has the right. Fake news is how President Trump is reacting to a report that he called on former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker to make a change in the Michael Cohen investigation. The New York Times says Trump asked Whitaker if he could put U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman, a Trump ally, in charge of the Cohen probe.